scripture reading this morning will come from Galatians 4, 8 through 11. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serveth unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labors in vain.
Good morning again. Once again, it's good to see you all. You're visitors, you are honored guests, and we hope that you'll come see us again at every chance that you get. I do hope to meet you after services if you would stay a while. But the lesson this morning is about not going back to serve our sinful addictions and senseless traditions, maybe that we had in the past, in our former lives before becoming Christians. Why is it important to reflect on this? Why is it important to reflect on not going back to those sinful addictions? Because, brethren, at any point in our Christian life, it's still possible, and we're still susceptible to being tempted back into those things that we formerly were captured in or in bondage under the chains of sin under. Those addictions, those temptations, they'll come out of nowhere. They'll try to grab us again, and they'll try to take us back into where, how we were living our former lives before we became Christians. And so those things that once held us in bondage under sin, and once held us as slaves under sin, we need to be careful about not going back to. Whether that's once again an addiction, whether that's a tradition maybe you did in the past, the Jews used to have a lot of problems with that, whether that's, you know, whatever it is, those things that are contrary to the New Testament, that are contrary to the will of God, to the Word of God, the words of God, plural, all of those things that are contrary need to be set aside and put away now. That new man that rose once you were baptized needs to be the new creature that you're living. You're now living as a Christian, of course, created in Christ. You are now living as a new creature spiritually. And you are supposed to live, of course, according to the will of God and not according to the will of man. But when you became that Christian, you chose to serve spirits. You didn't choose to serve flesh. You didn't choose to serve your fleshly desires only, and that is including all things of sin. You chose to serve spirit. And once again, there are things in life that God has, of course, made possible that man would do it according to His will. Things like maybe even sexual desires, they might be fulfilled according to His will. One of the most extreme things. Those things were set aside in a way that God deemed so. But man likes to do it in another way so. And so we have to be careful not to go back to those ways, but to do it God's way. In everything, a Christian, their life must be done God's way. But make no mistake, it is easy for us, of course, to be tempted back into sins that once held us before. We have to be careful. No matter how long we've been a Christian, some Christians say, well, I've been a Christian for 60 years. I've been a Christian for 50 years, for 40 years. It'll never get me again. Can it get you again? It very well can. It very well can, if you're not careful. Am I saying it will get you again? No. That's everyone's choice that they make, whether or not they choose to sin again or not. We will mess up. We will make mistakes. We're not perfect like Jesus was. So the question is, of course, will we make that same mistake again? Will we fall back into addictions, into temptations? Of course, maybe going back to maybe even senseless traditions, maybe even cultural traditions that might be contrary to the will of God, might be, you know, ungodly. Romans chapter 7, in verses 21 through 25, is a good way to start off this lesson. Romans 7, 21 through 25, talking about the spiritual warfare every single day that we fight and that we struggle with. Brethren, at glance, you know, when we're able to see the things of this life, we're able to see the physical things that we, of course, that everything around us, we're able to see the walls of this building and the people around us. But I want you to take a second and try to see outside of that. Try to see behind the veil for a minute. What might be behind the veil? What is there trying to, of course, take you down? There is always that constant desire that sin has to take you down, of course, to death. That's the very thing that it did to Cain, if we remember, back in the book of Genesis. What did God say to Cain? Sin lies at the door for you. Its desire is for you. Genesis chapter 4. So guess what, Christians? Cain, of course, was he somebody who didn't know God? No, he knew God. He knew God, and this very epistle is being directed at Christians. So can we fall away once again? Yes, we can, just as Cain did. sin lies at the door for you. Its desire is for you. We have to be careful because sin can come back and grab you no matter how strong you think you are. And so don't try to get maybe prideful and thinking, you know, how strong I am. You know, and that's a good thing to boast about, being strong in the Word of God. But maybe doing it so much so that you're not able to be taught, you're not able to be, you know, taken care of spiritually, maybe by another brother or sister in Christ. And of course, you think you know everything. And then, once that temptation pops up, it brings you back down right under the bondage that you used to be in before you were a Christian. And so, of course, we need to be careful about that. But Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, read it with me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So of course, talking about those fleshly things, if you served only that, if you served only the flesh, you would be, of course, in that law of sin. That would be in living in lawlessness without the law of God. Once again, as we said in our class, this entire world, this entire universe, how our bodies are made up, was deemed to be dictated and lived how God wanted us to live. So once we go against that, that leads to death, even physically, brethren. People in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, who would choose sin over God would usually die faster because they would choose those sins and they would get caught up in those things and their bodies don't mesh with that. Because once again, brethren, righteousness meshes with even physical things that God created. God created the physical world. He created maybe even, you know, all the spiritual things. Why wouldn't those mesh together? So when we try to contradict those things in the physical world, those things don't work. They don't mesh, so our bodies fail. Even, you know, talk about sexual diseases. Talk about all those different things. Even being thrown in prison because of, you know, crimes you might commit. All these things are contradictory to how God wants us to live. And they even cause us maybe even have death. Maybe even, you know, being shot by the governing authorities or something. Or maybe even thrown in prison and then something happens to us. So all these things to say, God deemed us to live in a way that He dictated. And if we don't live in that way, of course, it will cause problems both in the physical, but most of all the spiritual. And so we need to keep that in mind. But the flesh, don't serve the flesh. And, you know, and that once again, wherever it says the flesh in the Bible, usually it means serving the flesh only. So the law of sin, but serve the law of God, the law of the Spirit, the law of the Holy Spirit. Serve the words of God entirely. Now, once again, the reason that I use Galatians chapter 4 is because we're talking about before and after knowing God. So some people, once again, they think after they know God, you know, for 40 years or whatever, I can't ever be tempted again. You know, I'm perfect. I'm fine. They may not say that. Subconsciously, though, they live like that. And so before and after knowing God, there is still that constant battle that happens within us between the spirit and the flesh. You know, having maybe those fleshly desires that you shouldn't have, or, you know, ones maybe that are away from maybe the spouse, or ones that are away from, you know, how we should live this life. And then there's, of course, you know, living in the Spirit and doing it God's way, and even appealing the desires of the flesh God's way. And so, of course, He has set aside all those different things to be done His way. Once again, as we talked about, nature itself was created by God and is to be done His way. But sin does battle to keep us under its bondage. Before becoming sons and daughters of God through Christ, we did serve ourselves. Whether you were raised in the teachings of the church or whether you were not, once you reach that mind of accountability, as we call it, as we talk about, once again, not that age of accountability, but that mind of accountability, you know, whether you were not raised in that in the church or whether you were, you know, came from another denomination, you became a Christian or a denomination, not another denomination. The church is not a denomination. The church is the church of Christ and is the true church. And so, no human is perfect like Jesus. And of course, sin will try to take a hold of you nonetheless. There is that constant desire that sin has for you, so we have to be careful. It is a bondage of death that is awaiting even the Christian if we are not careful. Sin does promote a lifestyle of total bondage, and although seemingly opposite, that is the truth. Brethren, sin in itself seems appealing, and it seems very appealing in the moment. But then it causes catastrophe, even in physical life, whether it's alcohol, whatever it is, you know, letting that become out of control. When we talk about things like that, not having self-control, that's contrary to the will of God. not using our bodies correctly as God wants us to use them, and just to, violating them, destroying them in every way that we can think of. That's what, all those people throughout the Old Testament were doing who were wicked. And so we have to be careful we're not maybe doing that in the same way, or maybe being tempted back into doing that the same way. Sin does seem nice in the moment. If it didn't seem nice, it wouldn't be appealing. It wouldn't be something that we would want. It wouldn't be something that we would turn away God for. But sin, nonetheless, is total bondage. Why? Because it leads to death. Because it is death. Its desire is for you. The devil literally tempts us, as we know through the New Testament, even as he did in the Old Testament, even as he did with Job. Literally, he's always trying to deceive us and tempt us into getting back into that sin, because Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, "Behold, the devil has come down to you having great wrath." He wants mankind to die. He wants mankind to fail, brethren. He wants us to fail. And so we have to be careful, of course, that he's not able to deceive us back into that sin, or maybe those who even aid him. Of course, we know about that war in heaven, Revelation chapter 12, but that's not the topic of the lesson. I encourage you to go read that after this. But Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, the devil, of course, does know that sin will destroy mankind by separating him or her from God eternally. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, sin leads to death. Romans 3:23, of course, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates one from God, causing death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So, but because of God, and ultimately Jesus Christ, we were given hope to break loose from the chains of the bondage of sin. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, if you will. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I do want you to see this for yourself, brethren, if you would turn there with me. Once again, as I preach these lessons, I never want to preach them kind of just to your ears. I want you to see them for yourself in the Bible. We are a Bible-preaching people here at Berryville Church of Christ. We are not a man-preaching people or an idea-preaching people. We are God's will-preaching people. We are Christians. We serve under the banner of Christ. We serve under His will, under the Father's will. 2 Corinthians 5:21, what does it say? "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So sin kept us under its bondage. It kept us as slaves. Whenever we don't think it, it seems nice. Well, no, it's actually keeping us under a slavery of death. And so, it might wrap you with all these enticements, these enticing things and all these beautiful things for a couple minutes or a couple hours or even years. But then the truth is, it never is forever. Sin will always lead to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. It's an addiction. It's always next, next, next. You need more of it. You need again and again after the next hour. That's what an addiction is, maybe even in sin. And so you have to be careful, brethren, that that doesn't come back to you. Those things held you back in the past. Don't go back to them. Don't try to, don't think that you can't be enticed by those things once again. You can. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you're still human and you're not perfect. You have to be careful and you have to be vigilant. That is my urge to you and my encouragement to you this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. What does it say? 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Once again, that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. But back to the main point. We used to serve self, and that is, of course, sin, before we chose to serve God by obeying His will and becoming a Christian saved by Christ. So this is talking about before knowing God. We talked about before maybe even knowing God, sin battled to keep us under its bondage. And then after knowing God, it's still battling to keep us under its bondage. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Talk a little bit more even about that example of Cain that we use. Go back to Galatians with me, though. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, we'll read verses 8 through 9. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. Let's remember our context here and why we're talking about all these things. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" So there's the word directly used, bondage. That's what we're talking about, the context, remember. So before, you serve the gods, and then now after, you're turning back to those things. You're turning back to the weak and beggarly elements. These are Christians that he's addressing, that Paul is addressing. Did they turn back to those things? Were they susceptible to turn back to those things? Yes. There are even miraculous things going back in this day and time. And yet still, you know, some people say, well, if God showed us the miracles today, well, we'd all be fine. They didn't back then. They didn't back then. There were still tons of people who rejected Christ even to His face after He performed a miracle for them. And so even back in the church then, they were still susceptible to being tempted, even with miracles present, being given to them by the hands of the apostles. And so, yes, how sad, but it was still happening. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because we're still susceptible. Don't think that you're perfect and that you're not in a constant spiritual warfare, because Christians, you are, and I am too. We have to be careful. We're all human and we can still mess up. Now, once again, we have that clarification and disclaimer that you can repent of your sins, but that is not an excuse to continue doing your sins. You don't just say, well, I'll do the sin now and repent later. I'll do it again, I'll repent later. No, that's not how it works. God knows your heart, and He knows what you're meaning in your heart. If it's truthful or not, God knows it. And so He knows if you're just doing that over and over and over, and you're basically just faking it every time, God knows it. God knows those things. So you can't undermine the mind of God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So we have to be careful even about those things as well. But even after becoming a Christian, though, main point, sin does still war to destroy our souls and separate us from God eternally. That is sin's goal. That is the devil's goal, to separate us from God eternally. Sin is also what God, the Holy Spirit, as we just read, considers as the weak and beggarly elements. The weak and beggarly elements. So we talk about the Spirit. It's the thing that's strong. It's the thing that, of course, is the most of man. It's the thing that God made us in His image with. And then the things of sin, those things that are really just of the flesh, all evil. The weak and beggarly elements, all the pride of the flesh, eyes, and lust of the flesh, you know, all of that, those are all the weak and beggarly elements that, you know, they don't matter. I mean, they're just, as even the Ecclesiastes writer said, you know, everything in life is vain except for serving God and keeping His commandments, or fearing God or respecting God and keeping His commandments. So once again, though, make that clarification, no matter how long one has been a Christian, they can still find themselves making a mistake and sinning, and maybe even getting caught in an addiction once again, or a senseless tradition once again. So to be careful about that, maybe going back in improper traditions of their former life. A tradition of man is not a tradition of God, no matter how much we want to think of it. Was Christmas founded by the New Testament? Was the season of Christmas founded? No, it was not. Was Halloween founded by the New Testament? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Those are traditions of man, brethren. Families can do the same thing. They can make traditions, they can, you know, have those things, and then they're probably, well, there might be improper traditions. There are many traditions that are not improper, but there are many traditions that are also improper that might keep us under the bondage of sin. So we have to be careful. That's my urge to you. So, of course, that warning with Cain, if you would turn to Genesis. Genesis 4 and chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Keep your marker there in Galatians. Genesis 4, 1 through 8. I want you to see this here for yourselves. This is really one of the most defining moments, of course, for mankind's battle against sin across the ages. Genesis 4, verses 1 through 8. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not know well, here it is, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That's God's advice, but you should rule over it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, what does he do? That Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And so he let it take him. He was, you know, what you might call a child of God under the patriarchal law back in that time, all the way back then, you know, close to Adam and Eve, the beginning of mankind. And, you know, we might think, well, having God in His presence, well, you know, if I had God in my presence today, I'd never sin again. Cain, God was right there. And Cain was right there with him. And what did he still do? God literally said, sin's desire is for you. Right to him. And what did Cain still do? He still killed his brother. That's not an excuse, brethren. The miracles, you know, God having God in front of your face, you know, if God would show me a vision right now, it's not an excuse. People will still sin and still choose that no matter what. It's just a fact. People still choose it. It's based on the heart, brethren. You see, sin is a very strong thing. It's trying to bring you down and separating you from God. It's a spiritual thing. It's trying to take you away from God and trying to use your flesh to do that. So we have to be careful. It's trying to use that wrath, that anger, all of that that maybe builds up inside you against another man or against whoever it is, to try to take you and separate you away from God with itself. Of course, sin is the thing that separates one from God eternally. So we have to be careful, brethren, whether you're a child of God or not, it might be holding you under bondage, or it might try to in the future. It certainly will. So we have to be careful. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn there with me as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are temporary, but the things which are not seen, are eternal. Do you understand what that just said? The things that are not seen visibly, physically to us, to our eyes. Our eyes are physical, brethren. We don't see behind the veil. We don't see the things that are happening behind that veil, that spiritual veil. We don't. Can anyone here see God right now? Literally? With our physical eyes? I can't. Can you? No. Those things are happening behind what we call maybe that veil. We can't see those things. Can you guys see angels right now? No, we can't see those things. They saw those things back in the Bible we read. We can't see those things today. We don't see those miracles maybe happening right before us as Jesus was performing. They're not happening right now, right before our eyes. And so, once again, it's not an excuse to go ahead and sin. Once again, people will go ahead and choose those temporary things anyways. But sin, once again, as we disclaim this, or as we describe this, is a temporary thing. It's something that lasts for a short time, and then you need more of it. You need more, and you need more, and you need more, and you need more sin, and more sin, and more sin, because it's something that doesn't entice you forever. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is what keeps you at peace and maybe entices you forever. That's what keeps you happy. That's what keeps you joyful, what keeps you maybe rejoicing or, you know, bliss your entire life. It's the peace of God. It's God's will, following it. It's the following of it. It's being a Christian. It's being, you know, hopeful of the reward. It's all those things that keep you happy, staying away from sin, because sin, once again, causes catastrophe in one's life and brings death. Lying does no good for anybody. Sexual immorality does no good for anybody. It's something that is temporary, brethren. All of us know that. So, once again, it's enticing in the moment, but it's not something that lasts. So do not choose it over God, who does last. Galatians 4. Let's go ahead and read. Yeah, Galatians 4, 10 through 11. Back to our main text, if you will. Galatians 4, 10 through 11. So the question, of course, is to us all, you know, whether before or after knowing God, you know, once again, some people say, I've been a Christian for 40 years, I've been a Christian for 60 years. That's great, and God bless. You know, amen to that. But still, we are susceptible. We might be able to still be tempted. We might be able to still be tempted. I'm a young Christian, or I'm not a, well, I guess I am a younger Christian compared to others. You know, I've been preaching maybe for 3-4 years, and, you know, some people might look at me and say, well, he thinks he knows everything. No, brethren, I still make a lot of mistakes. I still mess up. And it might look like that because I stand in a pulpit, but no, I'm a silly human. I make mistakes just like you do every single day, probably. And we all mess up, and we all need forgiveness from God. We all have to repent. And so, brethren, realize, you know, as I grow up and I get 40 years old or 60 years old, I start having kids, whatever it is, I'll make mistakes too. Everybody does. So, once again, we are, you know, we might think, you know, I know everything, or we may not say that, but we might subconsciously think that and act like it. You know, it blows my mind sometimes when I see, you know, Christians, you know, back maybe where I came from in KE, or, you know, as I used to be a traveling preacher, and I preached at many congregations. I see Christians, of course, who are older, and they'll, you know, they say, I've been a Christian for this many years, and then they go off and they treat somebody horribly. They go off and treat somebody, you know, with prejudicial reasons or partiality reasons, and they're just maybe even a newer Christian or somebody who's younger. And that's so sad, brethren. That's so sad. You know, even younger Christians can do that to older Christians, yes, but both ways, once again, why are we doing that? Before and after becoming a Christian, you are still susceptible to have those maybe bad behaviors and maybe go back to those sinful behaviors that you were in. We have got to be careful. We have got to be careful. And brethren, maybe whenever you start having those problems with somebody else, you try to go up and correct them, let it be corrected. Let it be corrected. You know, whether or not you're the offender, we had that lesson the other day. Whether or not you're the offended, let it be corrected. Forgive each other and have mercy on each other. And try to consider one another's feelings. Try to consider one another, you know, their hearts. That's what God does for you, so do it for each other, brethren. And so, let's go ahead and read Galatians 4:10-11 now. It says there, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." And so verse 10, of course, Paul just attesting to the fact that they're still observing maybe these traditions. They're observing, you know, these different types of seasons, these different types of specific things maybe that aren't even within the will of God. But they're observing them like they're the most important thing in the world. But the thing that's the most important thing in the world is the will of God, brethren. And so that's the mistake that they're making. How can you waste the gospel's labor for you? That's a big question right there. How can one waste the gospel's labor for them? Verse 11, what does it say? "I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." Well, how can Paul have labored for them in vain? Well, because they still choose to go back to the sin. After knowing Christ, after becoming a Christian, they still go back. That's how it's wasted. If we choose to go back to the sin and ties to the addictions that we were in before, it's wasted. We're still going to the same punishment that we were before becoming a Christian. So it was wasted. So brethren, once again, we've got to be careful. Sin can entice us once again. This epistle is to Christians, so we have got to be careful. Because Christians can still fall, of course, from even the grace of God, can still fall away from the family of God by sin. Sin separates one from God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, talking about that 180 degree, Hebrews 10:26. What 180 degree turnaround are we talking about? The Christian turning back in to really the world, basically an apostate. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 says there, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." If we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth. We're talking about after becoming a Christian or after knowing the gospel of God. After knowing the gospel of Christ, after having learned of it, after having understood it. And so if you still sin willfully after that, why? Why are you going back? You're in the after now. You're not in the before anymore. You're not living under the bondage of sin, under the slavery of sin and death. You are now living under the slavery of God and peace and life. The slavery of God is not a slavery as we would think of it on this earth. The slavery of God, as it's depicted sometimes in the New Testament, is something that's blissful and peaceful and righteous, and it is free. There's such a thing as liberty in Christ. That is what it says in the New Testament. That's liberty. Liberty means free, brethren. And so we have got to keep that in mind. We're not under a bondage type situation where we're chained anymore, like we can't move. That's what sin does. It destroys us. So once again, will you make the gospel's labor for you to have been in vain? Will I do that? The question is to all of us. It can be wasted if a person takes that 180 degree turnaround and goes back to sin. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter also says a very similar thing. 2 Peter 2:21, we brought this up in our class. We're going to read just this verse. 2 Peter 2:21, "For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened," read verse 22 with me, "according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed," or a sow, however you want to pronounce it, "to her wallowing in the mire." I know we got some English nerds in here. I'm sort of one myself. I still make mistakes, though, is my point as well. And so, 2 Peter 2:21, though, was that one. And so another verse talking about that 180 degree turnaround. And it would have been better had they not known it at all. Why? Because it was useless. It was in vain. They didn't take it at all. They still chose their sin and their addictions once again, and they still chose to die. Why would they do that? Wonderful question. But brethren, that is that thing, of course, not getting caught up in maybe that prideful aspect and saying, well, I'm a perfect Christian. You know, I haven't sinned in this long or whatever. I've been a Christian for so many years. No, you can still mess up. You can still make mistakes. Every one of us. I've come to the front, you know, back in my other congregation. I went to the front many times throughout my life. I haven't done it here yet. I probably will sometime. And I haven't seen anybody come to the front except one person in the whole, you know, more than a year that I've been here. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing, brethren. But once again, maybe even being humble enough to admit mistakes, being humble enough to maybe even ask for the help of brethren. And so you can sit here and try to charge it on somebody else also all the time. But remember, consider yourself. Remove the plank from your own eye. We've made all these points in the recent lesson, so I won't go over them too much. But have we wasted the gospel of Christ because of your choice to serve self and passing pleasures of sin rather than serve God forever and live eternally in bliss with Him? Another thing to consider is, do we like the mouth of false teachers? Do we like the mouth of false teachers? Why would we like the mouth of false teachers? Because they entice us. Because they make us feel good about ourselves. Because they make us feel like we're doing the right thing whenever we're not doing the right thing according to the will of God. False teachers are what bring us away from God. False teachers are what keep us in sin. And so, brethren, of course, the things that are contrary to the will of God are the things that are sin. The things, of course, that keep us under that bondage of slavery and death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, I encourage you to put that as a side reference in your Bibles or however you're taking notes, and just have that entire section there. But are you a slave of sin or are you a slave of God? That is our question to all of us this morning. For to be a slave of sin is to be a slave to a quick coming eternal death. But to be a slave of God, to be a slave of God, as the New Testament sometimes puts it, is to be a slave of eternal life. Turn with me to Romans 8. It'll be our last set of verses. Romans 8, 12 through 17. To be a slave of eternal life and peace and happiness with God and the family of God. That's what it is to be a slave of God. It is something that is good. It is something that is happy. It is something that is eternal. It lasts. It is not temporary. It is eternal. Romans 8, 12 through 17. Last set of verses and we'll be finished. Romans 8, 12 through 17. It says here, Romans 8, 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So will you choose the family of God, and that is, you know, interchangeable slave of God, it's a good thing, or will you choose a slavery of death, and that is a slavery of sin? And a slavery of even the devil, as we know the devil even takes those captive to do his will, as the Timothy epistles even say. If you have any need this morning, if you have need, you know, prayers for yourself or for a family member, if you need to get some sin corrected in your life with God this morning, please do let us help you with that. Let us pray with you at this time. If you are not a Christian, please also as well do take the invitation this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're willing to confess that before men, you're willing to repent of your sins, your former lifestyles we've been talking about, and you will be baptized into the water. That is even behind me. We have water ready for you. Baptized, immersed into water, as the New Testament decrees it. Baptized into water for the remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God Most High. And then you must watch, remain faithful unto death. Even after becoming a Christian, you can still be susceptible to temptation, brethren. So we've got to be careful. The spiritual warfare is an everyday thing. It's not something that we pick up on Sundays and Wednesdays, or even just Sundays, as some people only attend Sundays. It's something that is every single day. That's why we have so many times where we assemble together. Because of that reason, because the spiritual warfare is every single day. And we have got to be ready for it. That is why we must shore ourselves up. In the Bible, in things of spiritual knowledge, and things of spiritual wisdom of God, we have got to be shored up on these things and strong. Because once again, the point of this lesson, we can still be susceptible to temptation and turning away from God once again. So, brethren, if you have any needs this morning, if you have any type of response to the invitation, Please do come to the front as we stand and as we praise God together.